Blog Talk Radio.
Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluwa Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun, to all the God children, Mojuba Egun, to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun, to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun, to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun, to all those that are listening. Who are tuned in, we give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe-o.
Ashe-o. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights, and New Power Radio Network. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of July 2013, and we are quickly approaching our fifth anniversary and looking forward to celebrating it with you. So please support us and our sponsors, Manhood, Race, and Culture, headed up by my co-host on Wednesday nights, Dr. James Jones. You can find Dr. Jones on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com. Also, Arlie Gordon of Unity Design. Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. You can find Brother Arlie on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com. And last but not least, we want to always remember to never forget our beloved brothers who are behind enemy lines and the families and friends and loved ones that they represent. So please support Unheard Voices, the Free Alabama Movement, and the Free Ohio Movement on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at freealabamamovement.com and freeohiomovement.org. So I'm dedicating tonight's broadcast to King Dati Khalid, and I'm going to try to get through this as, you know, smoothly as possible. King Dati, unfortunately, had an accident on Mother's Day and is in ICU. So we need all the love and prayers that we can get for King Dati. And so tonight I want to dedicate tonight's broadcast to him and let you all know that tonight is the only night I'm going to be on this week. I need to take care of some things in the community, which I had already, you know, planned to do. But then when this happened, it just, you know, changed the urgency of certain things. And so I'm doing tonight's broadcast tonight, and you have a wonderful guest, Brother Sheldon Laney, joining us. But I just wanted to, again, you know, dedicate tonight's broadcast to King Dati and let you all know that tonight's the only night we're going to be on this week. And so keep him in your thoughts and prayers, and we ask that you continue to support the Free Alabama Movement. He is one of the original SAM3, the initiators of what you see happening across the nation and even in other parts of the world when it comes to standing up against oppression and mass incarceration and the intentional enslavement of so many of our brothers and sisters. And so he literally has given his life to the movement and the struggle. And we could not be here on the air if we're not consistently since we started, and presence is duly missed. So we're going to keep them uplifted, keep doing our thing, and everything that we do here on Signing the Time, especially tonight, is because of people like him. So I'm going to go ahead and open up my guest, Mike. Greetings, brother. Is this Brother Laney?
It's him.
Welcome to Sign of the Times. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay, doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate you being here. And for taking the time to talk to me over the weekend and tell me about, you know, some of the things that we questioned as far as the medical field goes. So please introduce yourself and tell the listeners a little bit about you on a personal level and then about what you do professionally.
Okay. Well, my name is Sheldon Laney, and I am actually a community activist. I've been working in the community for over 10 years now. My day job is I work in the medical field too as well. I work as a CT tech / X-ray and all that kind of stuff. So I work in the medical field. And also I am president of Pflugerville Black Business Builders, where we are a nonprofit organization that we started over a year ago, where we help support and grow black businesses in the Central Texas area. By providing them the resources, the tools, and networking events to help them succeed with their business. And also, I'm trying to actually start my own business within the next couple of months. So I got a lot of things going.
I see. Now,
Yeah. So it's you know, it's just that I'm just trying to make the right moves at the right time, but I feel that whatever you do for others, God makes happen for you. So that's why I started out in the community first to help people get what they need to get. Then they can return the favor and give it back to me.
Mhm. That's right. And it's amazing sometimes how it returns itself. And you see rewards sometimes when you least expect it.
Right. Exactly. Because I'm all about helping people because I feel that it was a need because we don't have a we don't have a lot of black businesses within the United States as a whole anyway. So I saw that, and where I live at, and outside where I live in Pflugerville, Texas, which is a suburb of Austin, Texas. We had a lot of gentrification happening in Austin area, which is which gentrification is happening in every major city across America, and which is it's a sad, very very sad. But it's pretty much legalized racism or segregation, because of the methods and the methods they are using to force black people out of their traditional neighborhoods and all that kind of stuff. It's all about lack of economic resources. And the only way we can combat that is by coming together as a whole, bring our economics together, and that's by supporting black businesses, supporting our own, starting our own banks, and also just going ahead and just actually the neighborhoods like that we are living in, doing some type of real estate investment into those neighborhoods so we can have our own communities. There's a difference between a neighborhood and a community. A neighborhood is where you just come, you just sleep, eat, and then you go to work. But a community is actually a place where you actually do commerce. You actually have things set in place where you can have your own schools, your own hospitals, you can have your own your churches and whatever. You know, it's right there based in that area where you don't have to go outside your community to get the resources. If you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
So
now,
we don't have a lot of black communities in the United States right now, which is a shame. I think
are being gentrified aggressively.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, my personal opinion, what a lot of people agree is that I think integration hurt the black community as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
When we were separated, we had no choice but to live in our own communities, support our own business. We had everything that we needed. But with the Civil Rights Movement, even though Dr. King started the Civil Rights Movement, his whole intention was hijacked. He wanted separate but equal. If you know what that means, he wanted equal schools, equal education, equal everything that our white Caucasian friends had. But they said, well, instead of getting y'all equal, why don't y'all just come on over here with us and see how that works? But plain common sense lets you know that anytime you separate or if you integrate, like let's say it's a cup of coffee, if you have your cup of coffee is black, you like your cup of coffee just black and plain, if you put like sugar or milk or anything cream in there, it weakens it.
Mm-hmm.
So going to use that analogy is that once we separated from our roots, well, the tree died and we went our own separated, lived in the suburbs and all that kind of stuff, and then we didn't have our own communities anymore. They pretty much deteriorated. And you know, it's just that we thought, you know, we drank the Kool-Aid, we thought the white man's ice was cooler, and which it was not. As you can see, that we still are last in a lot of things. Because like I read a recent report that it came out that after over 50 years of marching, protesting, and voting, the black income status of our people has not changed within 50 years. So, well, that's why I had to talk about. Anything else you wanted to add? You want to keep on talking about, please?
Yeah, sure. So let's go back to the beginning where you went into speaking on how the movement, if you will, got co-opted. There were several things that happened simultaneously when that happened. We had affirmative action. We had the little bit of progress that was able to be made with the civil rights movement. And
right.
To me, it's just as much responsibility for those that did make it to reach back and
right.
help those that still needed assistance up.
Yeah,
and I think that that's where we went wrong as well.
Right, because all the educated black people left the community because they, before when we were segregated, the doctors, the lawyers, the teachers, the higher class black people, they left the community and let the other ones back instead of helping them move forward. But it's just that also, you mentioned affirmative action. Affirmative action got hijacked too as well when they started. It was supposed to have been just for black people only,
mm-hmm.
not Latino,
mm-hmm.
not Latino, not white women, not Eskimos or anybody else, you know what I'm saying, humpback whales, whatever you want to call it. It's just supposed to have been for black people only. And that got hijacked, you know, from us. Because basically what affirmative action is a plan or to help actually rewrite a wrong that was committed against a certain type of people. And black
right.
people as a whole in this country has been wronged against for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Indeed. So now that we are in 2018 and we know how we see how the current government structure is, we are still no more free, whether we are behind enemy lines or out here in society, just simply because of the potential for unexpected offenses by the state. Many of us are being removed from what little we do have of culture. In our communities. And so what is the organization that you are about? How can we help uplift our people through the work it is that you all do?
Oh, well, what we try to do is we meet every week where we try to build relationships with each other because we meet every week because people do business or do things with people that they know, like, and trust. So
mm-hmm.
that's also... Because it's like just to get away with all those hang-ups, that personal hang-ups that we have. If I see this person every week, then I know what this person is about.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, it's very important. Like I said, I think on the last, like we don't make up like two. I think the 2 to 5% of the business across America, black-owned business, that need to change, man. That's really why we don't have enough respect in this country is because we don't have the economic base like the Jews, the Hispanics. Because, like, y'all know, you probably heard this statistics, the Asians, they spend their money with each other for before they go out there, before they leave their community for a whole month, they spend their money with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Jews do 3 weeks. White people do 2 weeks. Hispanics, Latinos, they do 1 week. They spend with their own people. Black people, we spend our money within 8 hours. As soon as we get paid, we go in, we go spend it with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very, 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 very serious problem right there. If you keep on spending your money with people that don't like you, you're searching for love in all the wrong places, then you're not gonna get the respect that you deserve as a people. Because they figure that we can do anything to these black people, these black people. And get away with it because they're going to still spend their money with us.
Mm-hmm. So how do we stop our people continuing to make those same mistakes?
How we can stop them from making the same mistakes? I think with this election of 45, I won't call him president, I think it's waking a lot of black people up. Because
mm-hmm.
I think we kind of got lulled to sleep with the Obama administration. We thought, it was pretty much President Obama was a token. If you know what a token is, it's just that
mm-hmm.
it was symbolism. You know, symbolism with no substance.
Mm-hmm.
I admit that I voted for him twice, but I feel that President Obama could have did a lot more for black people than he did for certain other groups. But only thing is, we can't fault him for that because we didn't go to him with our agenda. With a black agenda, and plus
mm-hmm.
we didn't put money behind our agenda like the LGBT community, Latinos, and other and other groups, whatever, because they put money behind their agenda, and that's why he passed legislation in favor of them.
Mm-hmm.
With the Dream,
mm-hmm.
with the DACA, and you know the LGBT, all that kind of stuff. You know, agendas, all that stuff. So, but politics is controlled by money, and I feel that black people have been wasting their time in both parties, Democrat
mm-hmm.
and Republican, because Republicans don't respect us. Democrats been taking our votes for granted for the past 40 to 50 years, and my personal opinion is that we should leave, separate from both parties and form our own party, and you know, call it a Black Independent Party. We would like Dr. Claude Anderson said, I don't know if you know who he is, he said that if we form our own Black Independent Party, we don't have to run. You don't have to run anybody as the president for president. All we got to do is tell them, if you want 45 to 50 million black votes, you got to go by, you got to do A, B, and C for us if you want these votes. And
mm-hmm.
any politician would jump for joy or do cartwheels or flips or whatever for them 50 million votes, because that
mm-hmm.
could turn the tide for an election. So, well, going back to your question, what we can do is, I think just that we need to, like I said, I think we are waking up about
mm-hmm.
spending more money with our own than going, because like you can see all this stuff that's happening on a daily basis and everything with them arresting us, with calling the cops on us for no reason. I know I saw an article like last week where a man was out in his own neighborhood, probably a white neighborhood, a black man, pushing his child in the baby stroller, and a white woman called the police on him, or security, whatever, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
just because he was black. You know, it's been having so many different instances like that because they feel more emboldened. They've already been around, but they feel more emboldened to do what they want to do under this current administration, which is, you know, make America hate again. So, anyway, but it's a lot of things we could do. Like, we got to, firstly, I think the one thing I mentioned about separating from the Democrat and Republican Party and form our own party, invest in black-owned businesses, even though, you know, sometimes black-owned businesses don't have the same quality of products or, you know, that other realtors or retail stores have, well, retail stores have, but we got to be patient with them. If you spend your money, more and more money with them, then they should be able to come up to standard that you want. But don't get me wrong, if somebody give you bad service, don't patronize them, but still, give them the opportunity to have your business. Also, I think that I think that we need to actually separate from the people that don't like us. We got to have our own communities. We got to have our own communities. It's like you got your Asian towns, you got your Chinatowns, you got the little Italy's, you got the Greek towns, you got any town, you got little Arab towns, all that kind of stuff. But where are our little communities at? Where are our black towns at?
Mm-hmm.
I ain't talking about a ghetto. I'm just talking about actually a thriving community. So where we have our own schools, where we can teach our own kids and everything, because the public school system is messed up. It's against our kids because they don't even teach them the right stuff that they need to learn. It's under, you know, they try to take out slavery out of the textbooks, make it seem like, oh, we came over here voluntarily, which is wrong.
Right.
And yeah. We need to be able to actually teach our own history, because our history starts before slavery. It predates way before that. We have a rich history coming from Africa that a lot of people don't know. But there's no excuse nowadays. You can just Google. You know, you got a smartphone. Everybody got a smartphone, iPhone, whatever. You know, that information is out there now. But when I was in school and all that kind of stuff, that information went out there. We had to depend on what they were teaching us and everything, and you know, and which is pretty much, you know, pretty much White History Month every week. I mean, every year. I mean, you know, White History every month. Take that back. And though we have a strong Black history that predates their White history.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't know, or that we do not know about.
Ashe, I want to ask you, when you were speaking, the types of investment that it takes to have a really flourishing economy, especially in the Black community, and the fact that we don't have resources now, but certainly America owes us, due to the fact that America wouldn't be America if it were not for the blood and tears of our ancestors. So, has your group ever discussed a plan, whether we call it reparations or not, that would include some sort of, I guess, business alternative to even some of the funds that many of these communities are getting based on the fact that we live there, but very rarely do we actually see any of the CDBG and HUD funds actually reach the people. And then they create all these rules that, you know, and hurdles to jump over that make it almost impossible unless you're willing to sell out or sell something else to be a part. So where are we with that, in your opinion? Does America owe the Black community anything?
In my opinion, I do believe that the United States do owe us reparations. But, you know, that I read a study that if they get reparations to it, I think if they actually have to do the research and the math and figure out how much they actually owe descendants of slaves. But I did a little research on my own. So an economist came up with a certain figure that each person who are a descendant of a slave is owed $1 million of reparation, each person. So you have like a family, a Black family, like you have two black man, Black wife, a Black woman, you know, that's $2 million that the government owes you. I do, like I said, I do agree with reparations, but what can we do? Because it's like, what can we do before that? Because we've been talking about reparations for years, but that's not even being discussed or even voted upon through the government, through the Congress or the Senate, or whatever. So I know John Conyers.
Yeah.
He used
Incobra is actually pushing some things forward now.
Yeah.
Do you know about Incobra?
I know about the Harvest Institute. They've been Dr. Claude Anderson. I know he's been on the battlefield for years trying to fight for reparations and everything.
Yeah.
And
now, can you imagine the super force?
Yeah,
that
he actually got the lawsuit against the government about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, can you imagine the superpower that could be created if we were to somehow have a convention, if you will,
that would bring together all of those elements
in the same room.
Yeah, even the United Nations even said that the United States owes us reparations. That happened like in the 2016. They did a study and everything. They did a study of how and all that kind of stuff. But you know, that type of stuff is not even talked about because we know that as soon as you start talking about reparations, you gotta have that debate with other white folks. Why? Well, y'all been free for over a certain amount of years, and plus I'm not no slave owner. That was past wrong and all that kind of stuff. That happened during your lifetime or my lifetime. That's ancient history. But they understand that you benefited. You got a head start over Black people.
And they're still benefiting.
And you still benefit from that head start that you got.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how can you, like a race, how can I catch up to you when you got a 50-yard or 50-meter head start?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna catch up to you because it's on equal playing field because they were able to come over here and acquire free land with what they stole, where they inquired, they stole it. They were able to acquire all, and on that land, they were able to acquire all the resources, like all the wealth, whatever, oil, gold, whatever, there was, land, whatever, from that. But after slavery, we didn't even get 40 acres of the mule. And then after slavery, we still had to go through Jim Crow segregation. Then you had to go through redlining and all that kind of stuff, where you couldn't live where you wanted to and all that kind of stuff. And they just put you in a certain area with lack of resources. Then you had to worry about the mass incarceration of our people, the war against drugs and all that kind of stuff, with crack epidemic. There's a whole bunch of different stuff that we have been affected by, but no type of amends have been made,
mm-hmm.
which is very, 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 very sad, but even the Jews, they got reparations for World War II,
Yeah.
And the Japanese, they got reparations for World War II, too, as well. But when you talk about reparations for black people, nope, that's in discussion.
It didn't break America. And even if they had to be creative about, we know America's got operating on fiat money anyway. So we'll
mm-hmm.
take $1 million worth of land. I'll take $1 million worth of land. I'll take $1 million partnership into a company. You know, there's all kinds of creative ways that this could be done.
It's all creative ways, but I think they should give people probably the land instead of the money, because a lot of folks won't know what to do once they come up with that type of money. They won't know what to do with it. They use that money and spend it somewhere where they don't need to be spending it. But it could be a certain way. It could be invested in education, land, and also people who want to open up their own business and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. And also, I don't know if you heard of the Tulsa Real Estate Fund, which I'm going to invest into real soon on June 1st.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way that we as black people, we could come together and reinvest in our own community by buying back the block. What that means is it's actual fund that's pretty much almost like an IRA retirement fund, where you can see where your money's going. You know, it's clear transparency where you can actually invest your money in buying real estate within certain communities, and using using that land to actually build our own communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a very good plan. It costs like $500 to actually open an account, which is not that much.
Mm-hmm.
That's a drop in the bucket. Well, I figure $500. You know, you can invest how much money you want into it. Like I said, it's an account that you actually get to. You can actually see where your money's going and how much you invested in it and everything. You can sell those shares, but it's like stock.
Mm-hmm.
You got to actually see it through. You know what I'm saying? You can't just buy some stock and just immediately sell it. You got to let it actually accrue, grow, and everything over time. And they talking about doing some good things, because they talking about actually purchase some land outside of, like 2 hours outside of Atlanta, Georgia, over 60 acres of land, where they actually build a black community for, a certain amount of money, whatever, like a $2 million. If you think about it, if you get like 100,000 black people in this country to invest $500 or $1,000, that's a lot of money right there. But, mm-hmm. that's where we can actually invest in our own community, and which is a good thing, And so that's information is all at TulsaRealEstateFund.com. If anybody's interested in find more about that, that's TulsaRealEstate.com. And June 1st is the day when they open up the actual actual way you can actually open your own account and start investing into real estate. Because it's like three things that every black person should have. They should invest in real estate, invest in the stock market, and also have their own business. Those three things. Those three things every black person should have. Invest in the stock market, own real estate, and try to start their own business. But I know everybody can't start their own business well, you know, but it's the ideal thing to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're creative enough, you can find something to create your own business. I had my first business at the age of 4. So, you know, it's something that definitely can
start young.
Yeah, I want to ask you this. Yeah, I took my trinkets and things and had my first yard sale at 4 years old in front of my house.
Right.
So what do you have to say to the young people who may hear this and wonder even where their next meal is coming from? It sounds very good in words, but how can they see their way clear when there's so many things going on around us that have a constant noise and interference in our lives, from mainstream media to the lack of education to whatever? What advice do you have for anyone that may be just having a hard time just making it, let alone being able to see themselves as an entrepreneur?
Oh, if they want to become like a future entrepreneur, if they want to become.
Yeah.
Well, what I would tell them is just to, first thing, you know, get as much education as you can, because education is the new currency of the 21st century. Get as much education as you can, not their education, but get our education. Like I said, you can get a lot of information. I encourage every parent to actually sit down with their child after school and actually look at what they've been learning, and then actually contradict what they've been learning, and actually have their own lesson plan to teach their kids what's actual factual and which is not correct, which is fiction. And also, give them books to read. That's one thing that we don't do a lot nowadays. We got all these technology, and we don't read books as much as we should. Get some good books that I know the first book I read was one of the first books I ever read was The Autobiography of Malcolm X, which is a good book. You know, another good book to read is Paranomics by Dr. Claude Anderson, which helps explain a lot of different stuff that how we can actually, it's an actual plan, economic plan, how we can actually get out of the situation where we're in. I like to read the book by Message to a Black Man the minister Elijah Muhammad. There's a lot of different books you can get that you can read. Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome by Dr. Joy DeGruy. This is a good thing because it's a lot of things, or hurts that we have passed on generations and generations that haven't been dealt with. You know, slavery left a lot of wounds that are still open that we haven't dealt with. But I encourage every child to get as much education as they can. I encourage every parent to actually sit down with their child on a daily or weekly basis and actually go over what they've been learning in school and actually try to teach them what the best way they know how, and invest in books. And then when the time is right, get them out of white schools and get them to a black school. You know.
Let me ask you this, brother. What are some of the things that you see differently in today's school system than when you were in school?
Today's school system, they still see us as negative stereotypes, you know what I'm saying? Because where I live at in Pflugerville, we had a high incidence of black students being put in situations where law enforcement had to be involved, where they for assault cases and everything, but their white counterparts weren't being called on them for doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a discrimination right there, racial profiling. Mm-hmm. And it's just that But the difference I see is that it's still no. I don't think there's really any difference from the time I was in school and what the school is like today. But they, of course, they got more access to technology. You know, we just barely when I was in school, we had computers and all that kind of stuff. We had computer classes and all that kind of stuff. But now they have more access to more information than we do. That's why nobody can say they can't find the answer when they can. What I got to do is just do their due diligence and do their own research. But like I said, they are trying to rewrite history by actually not even having our history in there. So Black history shouldn't be just for 1 month. It should be every day. So why I say I encourage all of us to actually do the research, and find out about your people, about us. Because like I said, we have a rich history that predates slavery, and not it's like the old saying, your history started when you got on a boat, as a slave, came across the ocean, then you was a slave for a certain amount of time, then after that you got Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, then after Abraham freed the slaves, then you had to go to Jim Crow, then after Jim Crow, then Rosa Parks stood up, Rosa Parks sat down, then so that MLK could stand up, and then Barack Obama happened. That's your history, the end. No, it's a lot more in between that and before that. So, it's just that we have to be able to actually know who we are and everything. But going on back to the Black business, if you want to become an entrepreneur, you got to just find your niche. If it's something like, we had a girl, a little Black, she's a resident of Austin, right, in the same city. She started her own lemonade business, and now she's a millionaire. And she has distributed her own lemonade recipe, whatever you want to call it, into Whole Foods, where that they gave her like $10 million. And she started her parents, they took the time out. They saw that she had like a gift about what she wanted to do. She started her own lemonade because she got it from the idea from – from bees, whatever it was, right? Actually using the honey and the bee and lemonade, whatever. So anyway, make a long story short, she's probably on like, I think she's like 10 years old. So
yeah, seen her on
we have the.
Before. She's a very intelligent little girl.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all about finding your niche, finding what you're good at, and everything. You can, if it's basket weaving or if it's doing hair or if it's become that. What we need to do is we got to have people that want to, you want to go to like a trade school, you don't have to go to college. You can go to trade school or something like that where they got actual degrees where you become electrician or a mechanic. Plumber or something like that. You can start your own business doing that type of work, and bring those resources back to your people. Now, don't just outsource yourself to them. Bring that stuff back to here. That's one problem that we have is we send our kids to school to these schools, these colleges and everything. But what we do is that once they graduate, they get jobs with white-owned companies and use their talents and resources. Giving it to them instead of bringing it back to the neighborhood or the neighborhood that they grew up in, so we can build our own community.
You hear that thunder?
What was that thunder?
Yeah, my electricity just went out. And I just lost my studio.
Okay.
Oh man.
That might be the end of the interview.
It might be. Can you give out your contact information?
My contact information is if anybody ever wants to hit me up or whatever. Like I said, I'm the president of Pflugerville Black Business Builders. I'm here to help. Even though we are based in Central Texas, if there's anything I can help with, or nationwide, if anything, information I can help or you can help me with, you can look us up at Pflugerville Black Business Builders on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And also my email address is pvilleblackbusinessbuilders@gmail.com. That's pvilleblackbusinessbuilders@gmail.com. And my number, my personal number is 512-730-0885. That's again, it's 512-730-0885.
All right. Thank you so much, Brother Lamy. I'm going to be in touch with you when we get back in rotation because I would like to discuss some things with you about maybe if some of the people that are part of your group want to come on. But we can't seem to get over the hurdle of figuring this thing out with making the right connections and creating the right resources to move ourselves together forward as a group, as a UAC and Sign of the Times and the group, you know, that we're a part of on an economic level. We've reached out to a brother that sold tissue, and he mm-hmm. failed to return calls. We also connected with a group of black farmers and follow through. So if you or any members of your group are interested in working with us to maybe redevelop those original ideas or expand the media platform that we've created since, let's do that. Let's think about that and let's discuss that a little more between now and the time we have you back on the air. Is that okay with you?
That sounds good. That sounds good. We can definitely do that.
Okay. All right, I hate to cut our conversation short tonight, y'all, but my electric just went out. We had a huge thunder boom a second ago, and I'm sure it was recorded. But, yeah, so I've lost my studio.
Okay. No problem.
As I said, this is Quinta here signing off for the night, everybody. I apologize for tonight's short broadcast, but there's nothing I can do. God's will, I guess. But thank you, Brother Lamy. I appreciate you, and let's be in touch, okay?
All right, thank you. We sure will. All right, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Good night, everybody. See you soon.